Okay, so that sets something of the context of the pre-quantum physics world, yeah, classical physics. So I want to come onto the quantum world, quantum physics. And I'm going to try and do that by talking about one experiment that physicists can do in the lab. And it's an experiment that a man called Richard Feynman has described as the only mystery in quantum physics. It's, in a way, it's at the heart of all the paradoxes that quantum physics brings up. So if you can sort of grasp this experiment, and it's very, very simple, if you can grasp it, you've understood quantum physics. You've understood what all the fuss is about. Yeah. So we're going to have a go at grasping the profoundest mystery of quantum physics. I've got four flip chart papers that I drew up earlier. Yeah. So a number of steps to go through. So first of all, I want you to imagine, just imagine, that you've got a pile of rocks that you're throwing at a wall in front of you. Now, the rocks are all perhaps the size of your hand, roughly the same size. The wall in front of you has a hole in it that's just a bit bigger than the size of the rocks. Yeah? And you're just throwing the rocks at the wall, yeah, in the general direction of the wall. What will happen, I hope you can see, is that most of the rocks will hit the wall and just fall to the ground. Yeah? Some of the rocks will pass through the hole in the wall and land the other side of the wall. And if you keep doing this long enough, you'll end up with a pile of rocks the other side of the wall. Yeah? They've all sort of landed roughly in the same place. If you were throwing them at the same speed, with the same amount of power, they'd probably land in roughly the same place and form a heap the other side of the wall. So far, so straightforward? Yeah, there's just one hole in the wall. I'll ask for questions. Actually, I won't. So. But Wim Lavandu's right. Actually, now imagine it with two holes in the wall, side by side. So side by side, there's a hole here, hole there, yeah? So again, you throw this bunch of rocks at this wall. And I hope you can see that what you'll end up with is most of the rocks again hitting the wall, some of them passing through that hole, some of them passing through that hole, and you'll end up with two piles of rocks the other side of the wall. Yeah? Straightforward. Okay, but waves. Remember our waves. Waves don't behave like rocks because they're not made of stuff. If you imagine waves on water, ripples on water, and you can imagine them passing through some sort of barrier with two holes in, they wouldn't behave like the rocks. So I've got a little diagram to say how they would behave. So, this has nothing to do with quantum physics just yet. I've got my breadstick. Which isn't either. So I hope you can. I hope you can see this at the back. What you've got here is something that's causing some ripples in some water. And I've drawn these ripples as curved lines. Actually, they'd be concentric circles spreading out in all directions. But I've just drawn part of the ripple. So there's some ripples. And then I've got a barrier here, a screen or a barrier. And the barrier's got two holes in, one there called A, and that's hole B. What happens when the ripples hit the barrier is that they pass through these holes. They pass through hole A, and they pass through hole B. And it's almost as if hole A is a new source of new ripples. And you get a whole series of ripples that seem to come from hole A, and a whole series of ripples that seem to come from hole B. And ripples pass through each other, yeah? As in a way, waves, hopefully you can see how waves pass through each other. And as they pass through each other, they overlap, don't they? They overlap. So you get this overlapping pattern of ripples. Yeah? And you can see this in water. You can see it in your bath, can't you? So, So you get this overlapping pattern of ripples. Thomas Young, in the 19th century, did this experiment with light. So not using water, but light. And he showed that you got overlapping patterns of light waves. And that's how he proved or showed that light behaves as a wave. Yeah? And so this experiment is named after him. It's called Young's double slit experiment. There's two slits, and Thomas Young was the man who did it. Young's double slit experiment. When you do it with light, if you shine the light onto a projection screen, yeah, what happens is that this pattern of overlapping waves gives you a particular pattern on the projection screen. And it gives you a pattern which is bands of light interspersed with bands of darkness. So you get a band of light, a band of darkness, or strip of light, strip of darkness, strip of light, strip of darkness. And I've tried to illustrate that here in the way that's normally done in physics textbooks by showing this sort of curvy line. And the broader that sort of curve, the brighter that strip of light. So this is a band of light, this is a band of darkness. Band of light, band of darkness. Band of light, band of darkness. And the light gets fainter as each band goes out from the center. Okay? So that's how waves would behave if they went through two slits. Okay, so far so straightforward, hopefully. So now instead of rocks through a wall, we're gonna throw electrons. Yeah, these tiny little things that are almost unimaginably small, we're gonna throw them through the wall. Okay? Da, da, da. So first of all, we've just got one hole. And we've got something that fires electrons, just like you were throwing rocks. And I won't go into that. And you've got a hole in this barrier, hole A, and this thing's going to fire electrons. And what happens is that most of them hit the barrier, just like the rocks did. Some of them go through, and I've shown one of them going through. And it's just gone all the way until it lands on a screen where you can detect it, like a television screen. And what you get is you get a pile of electrons around that area, which is fair enough, isn't it? Like the pile of rocks. Yeah? So far, so easy. Okay, so now we're going to do... Sorry? They don't bounce off. They bounce off that screen, if you like, or... But it's the ones that pass through that we're interested in. And you get a pile of them. So that's electrons through one slit. Now we're going to introduce another hole. Yeah? So it'll be like the two-hole thing. And what you'd expect is now I've got hole A and hole B, and you'd expect some of the electrons to go through the top one, some of them to go through the bottom hole, and end up with two piles. Yeah? Just like the two piles of rocks. But you don't get that. That's what you'd expect, but you don't get that. So I've got that with a question mark, because that's wrong. And in a way, now we're coming to the mystery of quantum physics. Yeah? This is the heart of the mystery of quantum physics. All we're getting there. What you get instead is lots of piles of electrons, lots of them, but in strips, just like the light waves were in strips. So you get a sort of strip of electrons there, then nothing. A strip of electrons there, then nothing. And another strip, and then nothing. So it's almost like, imagine you've thrown these rocks through this wall, and somehow they've arranged themselves on the other side in lots of different piles. Real tidy little piles with nothing in between. And what's more, the biggest pile, that one, is directly behind an obstructed bit. So it's almost like the rocks have gone through the hole and gone round and landed in a place where they couldn't land. Yeah? Landed in a place where they shouldn't land. So this seems to imply that in this experiment, at least, the electrons have gone through these two slits, just like water waves or light waves. They've gone through and behaved like waves. But to do that, each electron needs to have gone through both slits. Yeah? It needs to have gone through both slits. Which, for a bit of matter, is a bit surprising. Yeah? For a bit of matter, it shouldn't kind of do that. It shouldn't do that. Yeah? I mean, also, how does it know, if it was about to go through the top hole, how does it know that now this wall's got two holes, and it mustn't go through the top hole, it must somehow go through both? It seems to know that, and behave differently. Yeah? So, what's happening? But it's even stranger than that. So what people said was, well, okay, what we'll do is we'll set up clever little detectors that will tell us, did it go through the top hole, did it go through the bottom hole, did it go through both? Yeah? You can do that. You can put little particle detectors in the way that will detect which hole it went through. What happens is that as soon as you try and detect which hole it goes through, they stop behaving like waves. And you do get two tidy piles of electrons. As soon as you try and notice, they behave themselves as proper stuff and land, either they go through that one or they go through that one, but they won't go through both, and they'll just create two nice, tidy little piles. Yeah? As soon as you look. If you don't look, then they seem to want to go through both holes and happily do that. Yeah? Some clever man called Wheeler thought, we'll wait until the electrons have gone through this little barrier before deciding whether to measure them or not. Yeah? So we're not going to tell them in advance whether we'll measure them, which hole it went through. We'll wait. Yeah? So this takes an enormously sophisticated bit of apparatus, and it's called the delayed choice Wheeler experiment, because you're going to delay making that choice until you know that these electrons are well and truly through these holes. Okay, so you wait. And then, if you decide to suddenly, quickly put a detector in the way and ask, which hole did you go through? Well, you find that they behave as particles and you get two heaps. And it either goes through one or the other. If you decide not to ask, then you get this. And that's after they've passed through the holes. It's almost like they know in advance, but that seems a bit daft because the experimenter, you, didn't know in advance, yeah? Either they know in advance or they sort of, go back in time and decide whether they should behave as a wave or as a particle, depending on what you've now put in their way. Yeah? And that's what electrons do. And, of course, it's not just electrons. It's all these little bits of particle. And actually, it's light as well does this. So what you've got there is a very mysterious situation. And quantum physics explains it mathematically. It all holds water, as it were, with the equations. The equations predict this. But nobody knows what the equations mean. So you're left with this theory that works. Mathematically, it's foolproof, but nobody knows what it means. So it completely defies common sense. But then Einstein said that common sense is nothing more than a deposit of prejudices laid down in the mind before you reach the age of 18.